The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Friars Club. In this episode, Jerry jeopardizes his chances of becoming a member of the New York Friars Club when he accidentally takes a club jacket home with him. George hopes to spend more time with Jerry by fixing him up with his fiance Susan's best friend, and Jay Peterman settles Elaine with the workload of her hard of hearing coworker, played by Rob Schneider of all people. What'd you think of this episode?
It was okay. I laughed more than I thought I would. This is not one of those completely memorable episodes, but it's not a forgettable one. I'm not a fan of Rob Schneider, but there's something that Rob Schneider does towards the end of this episode that I'm just like, wow. Like,
never saw that one before.
Which, you know, hey, go for it, man.
No,
I guess.
Yeah, we see how Mike is on his first date.
Look, when you're dishing out that kind of money, I want to go straight for it. No.
Wow.
It's not bad. You know, I see, it's not bad, but, like the whole situation with George trying to fix Jerry up with one of Susan's friends so that, you know, he can, still have his friend and he, you know, he doesn't mind going out on dates with his wife. I find that to be funny, for no reason in particular. So yeah, it's not bad. The flying Karamazov brothers are annoying to me, but they're supposed to be annoying. It's like a good annoying.
Wait, is that like a real group? Because it's like the Santas.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
they're
a real juggling troupe.
All right, I don't care for that.
They have their own Wikipedia entry. That's how real they are.
Wow. Nope. I wonder why it didn't just go with their own name. Anyway, that's really weird.
Because they do the lamest trick ever.
They yeeted a jacket off of a fucking balcony. Congratulations. It's fucking lame. It's super lame. All right. So, yeah, I thought this episode was okay. And I'm the same way. This was definitely not – it's not on my list of episodes like, oh, here's the – this is the episode, you know, this is like one of the classic episodes.
Yeah.
Cause I generally didn't find it all that amazing, but, yeah, I laughed a lot more like in hindsight, than I remember. I certainly love the opening. George, it's like he runs in and just kicks the cab door closed. like he was so excited. That shit was hilarious to me. And I had forgotten that this was the episode where he's on the light pole and he like spins around like singing in the rain. Like he's so happy.
Yeah.
Which is just great physical comedy. But yeah,
Elaine does some tremendous physical comedy at the end of this episode, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, definitely. So okay, the episode opens with George. He's literally dancing in the streets. He is so happy that we come to find out, he goes to Jerry's apartment, come to find out his wedding has been pushed back to June because some issue with the caterer, I guess he says. And like he calls it a stay of execution.
At this point, yeah. like you just got to be the bad guy, George, and just break it off, you know. Like he's calling it a stay of execution.
I love that he doesn't want to marry this woman, and yet he's going this far. The catering hall screwed up, so the wedding is delayed till June, which is crazy because most weddings they'd be like, we'll just find a different place, right
like we'll maybe they don't want to pay out the wazoo.
I mean considering the show, that makes a lot of sense. If we're playing the stereotypes, that makes a lot of sense. It's fucked up, but it's true. So yeah, he's So then George is like, hey, like Susan's best friend. She just broke up with her boyfriend. One, this is the greatest day of my life. Wedding gets delayed. I don't have to marry this woman until June. And her best friend, just broke up with her boyfriend, which Jerry was clearly interested in, Susan's best friend. And he was like, look, the wheels are in motion. I'm trying to make this happen for you. And he's like, look, you know, we can go to dinner together. We can go to movies together. It's going to be awesome. Right. So it's this idea of like being able to hang out with your friend and not just be with your, in George's case, your miserable wife all the time alone, which I just find to be fucking hilarious. Like, that's just funny to me. But I think it's, I mean, to be honest, it's way better to have your best friend and their spouse to get along with than not.
Yeah. I know that from experience. Yes.
You want to hang out?
Got it. Busy.
Do you ever, you've been married for quite a while.
Decade.
Almost a decade.
No,
right?
It has been a decade.
Yeah, 10 years, a fourth of your life.
Wow, dude, don't say it like that. God, Jesus, it has been a quarter of my life. Wow. Or a fourth of my life, rather. Yeah, no, a quarter of my life. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it has been. Wow. That's amazing.
Do you now, you know, obviously the show is kind of cranking things up to 11, but do you ever feel like George?
The stay of execution?
do you ever feel like George when they're getting coffee? And the other two can't make coffee. That scene when
Oh yeah. Would you like anything else? Check, please. There are definite, like, that's behind the paywall.
They're not going to listen to this.
Nah, they're not going to listen. Who's going to tell them? It's during the pandemic. Yes, there's definitely been moments like that where I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? Go back to work. It's a lot. Like, I feel like, and this is probably unfair to previous generations besides people who lived through the 1918 pandemic. If you as a couple can make it through a year of being at home together full time, I feel like you got a pretty solid, rock solid relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, the whole I can't miss you if you don't leave. Well, ain't nobody leaving.
Right. Like, and my wife is back at work, you know, during the day, but it's still like, you still here, like a lot, like all the time. Cause I don't get a break, right? Like I don't get one. I'm at home with my daughter. Right. And then that's it. Like, I don't get the 30-minute car drive in and out of work. Right. Like, which is tantamount, in my opinion, to mental sanity. I feel like that hour of driving every day, I think, is like, that keeps me totally like normal. But not having that, no, it can make you a fucking mental case. So yeah, no, I get it. Like, what about you?
No, I cherish my wife.
You're such an asshole. I knew that was tell that lie.
No, of course. You know, I get on her nerves and she gets on mine.
It's a part of it.
You know, we don't, we talk about it though. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We don't let that shit fester.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, sometimes it's just like,
go away.
I don't fucking be here. Right. Like, we are two ships passing in the night and, because of this pandemic. And,
it's hard.
It's like shift change.
Yeah.
You know, I get up, I do my work in the morning. She watches her son. And you know, at lunchtime, around 12:30, no later than 1 o'clock, shift change. And I come downstairs and she, you know, goes in the guest room to work. And then I watch. And
till five.
We do that all day.
Till
like, till whenever she is done.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We when my wife was at home full time before schools reopened, it was just like whoever wasn't on a conference call, right? Like, that's just, that's who had the kid. And so we just go back and forth. And then sometimes she's on a call and it's like not super like that big of a deal, so she could have the baby with her. But yeah, it's, that's tough.
Yeah, man. Like,
we've got one more week, of her being back in school before we can go back to that sort of thing.
Even before all that, you know, like sometimes I just don't want to like do shit that she wants to do, you know?
Yeah, no, of course.
You know, it's especially before we had Maxwell, because if it wasn't like, I'm very selfish. Right? if there is something that I don't want to do or she wants to do that I see no value in, I really don't want to do it.
I'm more accommodating than that.
I don't say I don't do it. I say I don't want to do it.
Oh, well, no, then I'm exactly the same.
Yeah. Where you and I may differ is you know, I tend to wear my emotions on my sleeve, right on my face when it comes to things that
You just met me? What the fuck are you talking about?
I can't imagine you would be, but you would be a little more direct with it, whereas I am a bitch and I am very passive aggressive.
Yeah. I'm
like almost to the point of negging.
Oh, is that what you want to do? I mean, I guess that sounds fine if you're some kind of loser, right? No, the funny thing about me is I'm nowhere near as direct with a person I super care about than I am with other people I don't give a fuck about. Like, I'm just not. Like, close friends and family and loved ones and stuff like that, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Like, that's my own thing. So I will generally suffer in silence. People I don't give a fuck about, oh, you getting it straight up. I don't give a fuck. What do I care? Like, I'll block you on the internet. Block me. I don't give a fuck. Like, and so I think people get the impression that I'm like, I can be super, super direct about things. And I can be if it like really matters, like if it's something I feel strongly about, like even with people I care about. But I don't like hurting people's feelings. Like I really don't. I'm not a person like let the chips fall where they may type of person. I'm just not that type of person about people I care about. About people I don't care about, nah, just fucking say that shit. I'm also very business minded, like in a lot of ways. There are definitely people I am nice to because I have to be. Right, like the 100%. If it were no stakes, fuck off, fuck off. Yeah. But some people I just got like, there's like people I care about, people I don't give a shit about, and people who I have to pretend that I deal with, like just because from a business perspective.
Yeah, you want people to do stuff for you. You can't be a dickhead to them.
Yeah, no, that's true. Or like just like business relationships, as far as like. Like as far as not necessarily needing things from them, but not wanting to create like a bunch of enemies for no reason of third party people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to draw lines in that way. Like, yeah, it's fine. And then there are people I'm just like, I fucking can't stand your ass. But if I really hate you, then like it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, it just don't matter. But yeah, no, that coffee scene is funny to me.
That coffee scene hits a little too close to home sometimes.
I don't know that we're I don't think we necessarily have that. Like, but I found it funny because there are definitely moments where I'm just like, oh god, shit. I just don't care.
Like I said, the show is an extreme. Like,
oh, it's not at 11. It's an 11.
It's not. Yeah. Whereas with my marriage, it's like at a 6 or 7, mm-hmm. But it would be, it would have been like at a 9 or a 10 in previous relationships.
No, that's fair. And that's, I feel like that's what a marriage is, right? Like,
right.
Like the idea, I always see, like, I always find, like, reading people's comments on, like, marriage and stuff, like, on Twitter, like, young people, and they're just like, I need somebody that I vibe with all the time. And I'm like, you don't know what the fuck a marriage is, man.
What you're talking about.
Right. That's why divorce rates are 50%, right? Because people are like, you're looking for a fantasy. You're looking for a fantasy. Right. Like,
you're looking for, people looking for a fantasy or they're looking for someone just like them. Nope.
It's a terrible idea. That's a terrible idea.
You can't spend time with yourself by yourself, just being by yourself.
No, you hate it. You want to be around other people.
Exactly. And you don't, and you look, it's one thing to be around people who like the same things as you.
That's different.
But to like everything?
Nah,
that gets old real quick, man.
Nah, it's like, it gets boring. It gets boring.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you see this? Yeah, I saw it. I liked it. Me too.
All right. Like, sometimes you need conflict. Like, not like, fuck you type of shit. But, like, sometimes you need to be like, yeah, I didn't really like that. And here's a, let's have a conversation about it. You know, like, you need that, right? And you, look, you don't want a polar opposite person to you either. Like,
no.
That, like, that's opposites attract. That was a white woman in an animated cat. Like, that's not reality, guys.
Right.
But it's just, it's like marriage is a fascinating thing and it's not easy. It can be really hard. It's work. Like, and it feels like it shouldn't be work, but it is. Like it is. It's real work. But at the same time, like I got, I was reminded of something that I did that was not acceptable. Maybe 6 months ago, the other day, out of the blue. But I told my wife, because my wife is like, can't be too loud. Keep it low. But no, like she likes to tell me about like dreams that she has. And I don't care. Like I don't care. And I did the thing that I shouldn't have done, which is I thought something and then I didn't put it through a filter. I just said the shit. And that was a mistake. And I was like, I really don't want to listen to your dreams. And I was like, because they don't make any sense. And I'm sorry. Like, and she got really upset. And I'm like, they don't make any fucking sense. Like, not your dreams. Like,
not aspirations.
Not, yeah. Right? Like you're... I was running with a wolf upside down on the Chattahoochee River. Like, I don't know what any of that means, and neither do you. Why are we fucking talking about this? It's your fucking madness of your brain. It doesn't mean anything. Right.
Your brain is bored at night and doesn't know what to do.
It's just, I don't know. There's a wolf there. Like, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. You're in REM sleep. You're fucking crazy.
It means you need to take some NyQuil.
Yeah, go
really
to bed.
Knock your ass out.
Right. Stop telling me a bunch of bullshit. So, yeah, I was reminded that that I said that, and I was like, I don't, but here's the thing, though. And I don't care. Like, I don't know how to answer. She tells me these fucking wackadoodle ass stories. And I'm just like, that's crazy. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? It doesn't make any sense.
You gotta have fun with it, right? Like, you gotta start making things up of what you think they mean, right? Like,
no, I'm not indulging in that madness. I'm not indulging in that madness.
I was being chased by a wolf. And it's like, oh, a wolf, like Little Red Riding Hood. Like, maybe that means you need to start wearing red hoodies more often in the summertime.
She would be like, shut the fuck up. And I'd be like,
exactly. Right. She would be like, shut the fuck up. I'm never telling you about my dreams again.
Win-win. It's a win-win. Yeah, I'm just like, I don't fucking know.
And You're not taking this seriously. I'm not going to talk to you about this.
You're right. You're right. I can't help it because I don't give a fuck. And it's so weird because I generally don't do things like that. I was just like, I don't care. Like, I'm sorry. I just got to talk. I'm like, oh, you can't. And it's like first thing in the morning. I haven't had coffee. Come on, man. Yeah, like,
well, you know, it's because if you don't get the dream out, it's gone.
No, but that's not true. Like, you could just wait. Like, let me be cognizant. Don't tell me some fucking madness. Asking me to fuck. Like, I don't know. Like, there's so much. There's so much about my day. This is such a divergence from this episode, but there's so much about my day that I just don't vocalize.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, that was a waggy dream. All right, whatever. Like, and I just go about my day. I don't bring it up to anybody because it doesn't fucking mean anything.
I don't like talking about work. Because thank you. You are not going to appreciate
or care
what I'm going through.
Or care.
Right?
And the reverse is also true. It's right. Also true. I don't.
And if you do care, like if you want to know more, you're not in the field that I'm in. So then I got to explain thank you. Everything.
I got I'm reliving my bad day.
Right. Bad day. I don't want to relive my bad day.
I just want to be home.
Right.
How was work? It's fine.
Check.
Right. Like I don't give a shit. I don't want to work there. That's how work was. I don't want to work there anymore. I don't. How about that? It's funny. And like her job is way more interesting because it's like there's like political dynamics and stuff like that. Like, and that's fine. Like I can't pretend like I don't completely care, but I don't care about like the crazy machinations of it. Like the hyper detail. Come on. Like, give me the highlights. Look, Dave Chappelle was not wrong. Men tell stories. Who, what, when, why. That's it. Tony was there. Bob said something. He punched Bob. He broke the fuck out. Like, that's it. Like, that's how we tell stories, you know? Oh, how was I feeling? Is my feelings? So many feelings.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's too much.
Like, oh, well, I have this thing that I have to read. And I'm like, she's throwing all these legal terms at me. I'm like, yo, I'm the math person.
Right.
I'm not big on the words.
Like, how? So what you're saying is 2 times 2 is 4? Like, but it's funny because you're not, like, the closer you get to someone, the less you can be honest with them. That sounds crazy.
About
Penny Annie
stuff
shit.
About stuff that might hurt people's feelings.
Right. That's what I mean. Not honesty. That's weird. Yeah. No, don't tell them nothing. No, that's crazy.
The closer you are, you got to lie your ass off.
They can't know nothing. Like, no, not like that. But like Penny Annie bullshit, right? And like you said, like shit that will hurt their feelings, right? So you have to be like way more creative or just be like, no, it's fine. Meanwhile, in your head, you're like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. And it's hard. Like that. That's the one thing about marriage, if I could like give advice to anybody, is it will become harder to tell people really easy shit that would, like, if you were dating for 3 weeks, you'd just be like, hey, I don't really like that thing. All right, cool. But if you're dating or married for 3 years and you're like, I don't really like this thing, but they really like it, you don't want to say that because then it like demeans what they want. And, you know, like it just exactly. becomes harder.
It's a joke. It's an old trope. But it exists for a reason. Does this dress make me look fat?
Right. Don't ask that question.
Right. Like, that's like, of course not.
Right. And no, you can't even hesitate. Don't hesitate.
Right.
come on. No, it took you 13 seconds longer than it should have taken you. No, don't ask me that question. I'll just be like, that's not a question you wanted the answer to. Like, even if it's not, even if it does, I like you. Who gives a fuck? Who cares? Who you dressing
up? That's the answer. The answer is, I like it.
I just walk out the room.
I don't know.
Fuck that.
I don't know if I like the dress.
Oh, no, no. You always go to the article. It's Ralph Lauren's fault.
Exactly. That's the trick to that. That's the answer to that question.
Nah, fuck this shirt. Ugly. You are so beautiful. You're better than the shirt. Right. These professional tailors have no idea what they're doing.
Sometimes they don't. So
I mean, sometimes anyway. They don't. But no, my wife would never ask, do I look fat in this dress? I'd be like, come on. What the fuck? If I say no, you don't believe me. If I say yes, I'm an asshole. This is a bullshit question. It's dumb. Like, don't do that. No. Like, No, my wife will have something like, hey, what do you think of this shirt? And I'm like, I don't really like it. I don't like the shirt. It's ugly.
Yeah.
But like 99% of the time, yeah, it looks great. And if I'm like, feel like we want the precipice of an argument, yeah, it looks great. We'll discuss the shirt later.
She's got a lie.
Yeah, you just got a lie.
Whatever.
Yeah. And I'm sure she does the same thing with me. These sweatpants make my dick look big? Sure. 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 Great. Huge. All right. Great. Kevin Samuels approves. George is talking about like, hey, this is great. We can set this up. Like, we'll all be happy. The four of us hanging out together. And Jerry's like, cool. We can go to dinner. Why don't we go to the Friars Club of New York? And George is like, the Friars Club? What the fuck are you going to the Friars Club for? And he's like, hey, a buddy of mine, this comedian, is getting me, sponsored to be a member there. So yeah, let's go. It'll seem impressive, right? Kramer busts in. He's like, hey, I'm reading this book, on Leonardo da Vinci. He's like, did you know that da Vinci means from Vinci? Like, very good. Very good. And he's like, the book talks about how Da Vinci only slept for 20 minutes every 3 hours or something like that. And so he's like, I'm going to do this because then it'll be like I live to be 105 even if I die at 85. And he's like, okay. So he's like, that's what I'm going to do. So there's some stupid thing Kramer's up to that that will play into factors later. Back at the J. Peterman catalog, J. Peterman – introduces a new member of the staff, this guy, Bob, who has an earpiece. He's played by Rob Schneider. And every time that Bob is asked to do some work, he pretends to not be able to hear everybody. Or they think he's pretending to not be able to hear anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess at the end of the episode, we figure out, like, yeah, he can't hear you. Like, the thing works.
Yeah, the thing really works.
Yeah. Cut to the Friars Club. Jerry, Elaine's friend, or Susan's friend, Susan and George, they all show up at the Friars Club and they're getting ready to go in. And the guy's like, hey, you can't go in the dining room. You need a jacket. And so he's like, all right, we have a jacket for you. And he gives him a jacket and it's got a little Friars Club logo on it. And they go and have a great dinner and it's wonderful. You ever been to a restaurant that requires a jacket?
The Capitol Grill, I believe, required a jacket. And, does the Charleston require a jacket? I can't remember.
No.
I've been there once, but I had a jacket. So,
they do not require a jacket. I've been there a couple times.
No, I've been to the Capitol Grill without a jacket, and they let me, wear a jacket.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
It is weird. I don't like it. I don't like putting on somebody else's. Plus, I'm not exactly. I'm like a 46 long. Like
46 long. God,
most people don't have, just spare jackets that are. Yeah, that fit me. You know what I mean?
I feel like I have the exact same problem by going in the opposite direction. Like, oh, he's wearing his dad's jacket. Like, oh, come on. I'm a Miami Vice's shit. I push the sleeves up. No, because I wear a 40.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wear a 40 suit. Yeah, or a 40 jacket, I guess. Yeah, like when I was like really working out, like my shoulders were wider, it was still a 40. I think like a 41. Like it just like wasn't that significant. No, I don't like, even if I am wearing a jacket, I don't wear the jacket while I'm eating.
While I'm eating, right.
I take really the jacket off.
I'm sitting down. So like, what's the point?
I got to tell you, man, you just mentioned the Charleston. Which is, if you're not in the Baltimore area, is a very, very high-end restaurant.
My wife saw an article the other day. She was like, oh, maybe we can go to the Charleston for dinner one day.
Oh, look,
I said, one, we've already been there.
I love that you were like, once was enough.
Fuck it. And two, you got Charleston money?
I mean, she do got Charleston money, though.
I mean, she got Charleston money, but not just to
not on a Tuesday.
Not to just be like, okay, yeah, I don't feel like cooking.
Damn, are you driving all the way up to Boston, Baltimore to go to the Charleston on a Tuesday?
Right.
Oh, that's like, a ball of shit. Yo. But incidentally, like you mentioned the Charleston, and I like the Charleston a lot. My wife and I had a very, very important dinner there. The day we started, like when we first got married, the day we started trying to have kids, that we had dinner there the first night, which was kind of cool. Like it was kind of a memorable moment. Yeah, it didn't work. spending all that money. Turns out we could eat at McDonald's. But it's funny because like that would actually be kind of cool. Like if you guys came up, Micah lives like 40 minutes outside of Baltimore. But if you guys came up, we just did like after the pandemic is over, like go do a nice dinner somewhere. Because I actually kind of miss dining at somewhere nice.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Can we not do the Charleston, though? Can we go to a different nice place?
We're going to Charleston. Y'all paying.
Nigga, get the fuck out of here. Yo, just to put in perspective, if four of us ate at the Charleston, that's a $600 dinner. Minimum.
Yeah, man. Like,
minimum.
That's not, you know.
Get cheap, the though. Entire fuck out of here. Look, I took all of you motherfuckers to that one restaurant after we won that contest for TMP Studios. And we balled the fuck out. And all of y'all ate. I took everyone to a very fancy restaurant, which is closed now, which is a sad thing. And I think I spent $800. And you guys ate and drinks and shit. Like, it was amazing. That food was great.
There were like eight of us.
Right. Like, everybody had like a $100 dinner. Like, get out of here. So.
Yeah, nah, yo.
$600 for four people.
God, can we go to the Charleston? I was mad. She didn't remember that we've been there before.
Right. How you forget?
Jesus.
Yeah, I used to go there on like maybe happy hour type of shit.
I only do that once a year. Like go to like some super fancy place. And once a year. Once every other year.
Once every other year. Wow.
Yeah, yo, because like that's a lot for a meal. And the last time we went to a place like that, I forget where it was, but it was in DC. Last time we went there, I came out and my goddamn car was broken into.
Somebody broke
into my truck to steal something that they thought was a laptop, but in actuality was a breast pump machine.
Dude, I remember when you messaged me and you were like, yo, they stole our breast pump machine. I fucking lost it. I was like, oh, that's sad. But also, ha, 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 ha. That's fucking hilarious to me. The funny thing is, like, fancy restaurants, I love, right? You know, as me being me. But I don't think I've ever told a story on the podcast. Like the year that it's like tragic into funny. The year that we like stopped trying to have kids, right? And it was like it didn't work. The second time it didn't work. We were just like, fuck it. Like we're just gonna not have kids, we're just gonna fucking blow it out. We almost bought a Porsche one day, like it was crazy, it was incredibly stupid. But we didn't, thankfully, buy the Porsche. But we just started going to dinner all the time. Like, but not like rinky dink restaurants. We would go to like very nice dinners. And so there's a restaurant right across from Charleston called Chingali, which is our favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
Which is like not inexpensive, but not nearly as expensive as. It's way more reasonable.
Perspective. Like, all right.
Like, it's a $150 dinner compared to a $300 dinner, right? Like, that's a lot of money difference, right? So it's like half as much. And we would just go there on like a Tuesday. Like we were just like, hey, you just want to go to Chingali? Like we're two people with like great incomes and then, and no kids, right? And we did our taxes like that year. And like we saved all our receipts and shit like that. I think we had spent, and I hate even saying this because it sounds insane, but for the story purposes, it's relevant to how much we spent. I think we spent somewhere in the realm of $10,000 in like fancy dinners like in a year. Like, because we were depressed, Jesus. Right? We were depressed. Like, in fairness, like, yeah, we were depressed.
I get it.
But it was it was bonkers. It was a bonkers amount of money. Our, like, financial guy was like, what the fuck are y'all doing? It was like, well, what happened was, yeah. No, it was like $10,000.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was something like between 8 and 10 grand. Like, it was crazy. Because we would just be like, let's go to Petit Louis. Like, fuck, it was like a fancy French restaurant. It's a Wednesday. They got half-price wine night. Like, we went one time. It was like, my wife is like, hey, it's half-price wine night. Let's go. Right? This is one of our stupid days. And we're like, all right, cool. I get there, and we sit down. And she was like, yeah, you pick a wine. I was like, all right, cool. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get this one. She was like, oh, how much is it? I said, oh, it's $75. And she was like, oh, half price. Okay. Like, that's a nice bottle of wine, but half price. Like, still, you know, that's still a pricey bottle of wine, but like, that's nice. I was like, nah, it's $75 after the half price. And she was like, okay, like, whatever, let's do it. Like, yeah, we spent $75 on a bottle of wine. Like, it was fucking stupid. But again, we were depressed.
Half price wine. You know what that means. Twice the wine.
That's not what that means. That's not how math works. But yeah.
We'll just get two of them. How about that?
Yeah.
And it's a deal.
They're practically giving it away. Yeah. No. So at one point, we see Jerry. He's at Elaine's office. He's like, hey, let's go to lunch. And she's like, hey, I can't because I'm swamped because this fucking Bob guy keeps pretending he can't hear anything. And I keep getting settled with his work. And so Jerry's like, all right, I'll go. And so he goes to the bathroom before he leaves the office, and he sees Bob in there at the urinal, and he sneaks up behind Bob, and he's like, hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Bob. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
It was a weird delivery. It was funny.
And so he comes into Elaine's office, and he's like, hey, I was in the bathroom with that Bob guy. And I kind of tested his hearing. And she's like, oh my God, get out. Like, what'd you find out? And he's like, well, he sort of flinched. But it could have been on the zip up. I mean, I don't know. She's like, oh, okay. So you don't know anything. And he's like, no, not really. It's like, okay, get the fuck out of here. Because Jerry is completely fucking useless. So then we fast forward, to George being like, hey, why don't we, to Jerry, like, hey, why don't we go see these Sarandos brothers, or what is it, the Flying Sarandos or whatever?
The Flying Santos.
Santos brothers. And he's like, yeah, Susan's friend got us tickets.
Santos, yes.
And he's like, she got us tickets, like, so why don't we go? And Jerry's like, all right, great. That sounds wonderful. And so they go. And look, they're... I didn't make this joke. The show makes this joke. They're gypsies. And they're a comedy troupe of brothers who do like this kind of goofy juggling / comedy kind of thing. I didn't personally find it very funny. Meanwhile, we cut to Kramer, making out with this Italian woman. And during their makeout session, Kramer falls asleep because using the Da Vinci code or whatever, he's not sleeping enough. She thinks he's dead, and she calls her like brother to come and pick up the body. Meanwhile, back at the Flying Santos Brothers concert, they climb up to the balcony where Jerry is. They
peer pressure him into giving him his jacket. And I'm like, why don't you just ask George to do it?
Right.
But, you know, I get it, right? And I'm way more upset at this magic trick that they do where they're like, I'm going to take your jacket and I'm going to make it disappear. Whoops. And then just tosses it off the balcony. Wait, what?
Yeah, I'd be like, and also, I don't understand, like, why it would have taken Jerry so much time to get the jacket back. I'd be like, I'm gonna, like, just hold it. I'm gonna come down and get it. Like, that's what I would have done immediately. Fuck that. But yeah, so they throw the jacket off to a member down in the audience. And again, the Italian woman calls her brother to come get Kramer. Backstage, Jerry and George go to the dressing room of the Santos brothers, and he's like, hey, you guys threw my jacket down. I want to pick it up. They're like, what jacket? He's like, yeah, the jacket with a crest on it. Like, yeah, it should be fun. You know, whatever. Just give me my shit back. And they're like, no, sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, go fuck yourself. And he gets a little pissed, and Susan's friend's like, oh, I'll get the jacket back. He's like, okay. Like, sure you will. Then we get the scene of, and you know, they're like, all right, let's go get some coffee. And Jerry's like, he's a little soured on the evening. And so he doesn't want to go. And so Susan's like, all right, George, let's just you and I go get coffee. And he's like, fine. That's fine. And they're sitting in Monk's.
Just go home, you know? Like,
yeah, just drink our cup of coffee at home. Though there is something about drinking coffee out. Look, little known fact, you don't drink coffee. Your wife does.
My wife is addicted to coffee, yes.
Right. She's an addict. If I get coffee at like at a diner or whatever after dinner, like after an evening, and my wife also gets coffee at that same place, I feel like that's the night we're having sex, because like we're awake, like we're drinking something that's a stimulant, it's not a depressant, like yeah, we're awake, like that's what that reads to me. I'm like, bet, got it. Unless we have to drive home a long distance, then it's like, well, then that's a 50-50. But if it's like 5 minutes from our house, like if we go to the Charleston and both of us get coffee at the end of the evening, yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then chase it down with a 5-hour energy.
Like,
oh, this is absolutely happening now.
Dude, I had one of those one time.
Yeah, I know. Was it when you drove up to the Hamptons?
This episode's making me sound crazy rich, which is insane. No, that was not that time. That was just on Red Bull.
Oh, that was just on Red Bull?
I never had it before at that point. I had never had it. I don't drink any of those energy drinks. I have enough energy as it is.
Yeah, no shit, man. God.
No, damn. I took a 5-hour energy before moving into our old house when my wife's students were helping us move, like when she was teaching college. And she was like, are you okay? Like, cause I was like, oh, I'll pick up the truck. And then I went and got a 5-hour energy, like at a Rite Aid or something on the way back to the house. And she was like, are you like, what the fuck is going on with you? I was like, what? Woo, woo, woo. Like, I was fucking wiling. She was like, you seem insane. I was like, I had a 5-hour energy drink. And she was like, you seem nuts. Like, don't ever get those. I never did again. No, don't people drink those. That's insane. Don't do that.
I've had one or two. I don't feel like they do anything for me.
I think it's because you're fat.
Look, maybe.
I was like now, probably not for me. Right. But then, yo, I felt like I was like, oh, this is what cocaine is like. Got it. Like I was just like, heart is racing. And then I crashed like super hard. Like, no.
Like, that Mojo Rising did way more for me. you know, obvious, you know, the obvious results, right. You know, notwithstanding. Like, that did way more in terms of, like, keeping me amped, because that shit felt like a pre-workout. Like, the ultimate pre-workout.
Nah,
where yeah. It's just, everything is just, like, your spider sense is tingling and shit. But 5-hour energy was just like a shot of Kool-Aid. With like espresso in it.
A shot of Kool-Aid with espresso in it. Nah, y'all. Like, nah, I can't do 5-hour energy drinks anymore. No, never again. Like, no, I felt like my heart was going to explode. And it probably was about to. Like, no, I'm not built for that shit. Like, I have one cup of coffee a day. That's it. Like, one cup of coffee, and I might have a tea later in the afternoon. That's it. I don't need all that caffeine. Fuck out of here. So I want to play a clip real fast of Jerry and George having this sweet and sour conversation, because it's absolutely hilarious. This is where Jerry is talking about how he's not so sure that he wants to go out on a date with this woman anymore because of the jacket issue.
Let me see if this will work.
So, Susan and I were thinking dinner at our house Saturday night, just the four of us.
I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't know, I'm a little turned off.
Come on, what are you talking about?
I'm kind of soured.
You're soured?
Yeah, I'm soured.
Don't be soured.
I'm soured.
Are you kidding me? We were all getting along so well. Where is all this coming from?
Well, you know, frankly, I didn't think she was too concerned about my jacket.
What are you talking about? She's very concerned. She said she was going to get it back.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because if she gets it back, then you'll have no reason to be sour. You'll de-sour, right?
I'll try and de-sour.
Oh, that's not good enough. You don't try and de-sour. You have to sweeten, too.
I'll try and de-sour and sweeten.
I want to get it back to when we were the Gatsbys.
I still don't know what that means.
Yeah.
The Gatsbys.
It's funny, like, you don't know what it means, but you know what he's talking about.
Right, right. Yeah, you want to be like a cool, like, two couples, like, hanging out, doing shit, cool shit together.
Right, even though, like, Jay Gatsby didn't have any family. Like, he was...
Yeah, he was a miserable guy.
Right, that's why he was throwing them fucking parties, because he ain't had nothing else going on in his life.
I want to be like the Gatsbys. I don't know what that means. Meanwhile, Kramer wakes up in a river because those Italian stereotypical thugs threw his body off a bridge.
So the director had concerns over the stunt where he was placed into the sack and dumped in the Hudson River. Once he was completely submerged, he was to force himself out of the sack and swim back up to the top. That part of the scene was filmed in a tank, obviously,
right,
at Universal Studios, and scuba divers were in the tank off camera, ready to give Richards oxygen in case anything went wrong. On the first take, Michael Richards didn't sink fast enough, so they added 40 pounds of weights to the sack.
Jesus.
And then on the second take, he was able to escape quickly and swim to the surface. And apparently Michael Richards is like a certified diver.
Oh, so he was fine.
Yeah, so he was fine. That's why they did it in two takes. Like, they would have did it in one, but...
He didn't sink fast enough. That's hilarious.
He didn't sink fast enough.
put cement boots on this guy. Meanwhile, Jerry shows back up at the Friars Club because he, you know, he's looking for his jacket or whatever. He didn't have his jacket, and he actually sees one of the Flying Santos brothers wearing one of his jackets, and they're like hanging out in there, and he's like, "Hey, that guy's got my jacket." And so they try to go in, and then one of the guys stops him. Meanwhile, Elaine and Bob, the guy with the hearing aid, are at the Flying Santos concert, but because Jay Peterman thought that Elaine was into him because she overheard him like saying, "Hey, Bob, I want to get me so hot," and all this other shit, and she was just trying to fuck with his hearing. So he sends them both with tickets to see the Flying Santos. When they're in the balcony, Bob decides that he's not going to try to kiss Elaine.
Yeah,
he tries to just put his head in her chest.
He goes head first straight for her boobs. And I'm like, yo, that is wildly inappropriate. I don't care when this was filmed.
Right.
But it was hysterical, because like, here's Rob Schneider. And like, this is like Elaine, like morphing into the bombshell Elaine. Right.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
She is. And so, and then here's schlubby ass Rob Schneider, and he's just going for it. Right. And then she's just like, "Get off me." And then he does it again. I'm like, yo,
I do find it just be like, physically, just from physical comedy perspective, to be hilarious. Cause she's like, "Get the fuck off of me." And then he's just like, just does it again. And she grabs him by the shoulder and throws him over the chair. It's fucking hilarious.
Like, to the point where it's like, I don't know if she's that good an actress. Like, I wonder if that was improv. Like, I was trying to see if I could find if that was improv by Rob Schneider, and they just kind of went for it. But I can't find it anyway. And I would think you wouldn't improv something like that, right? Like,
well, not if you're not an asshole.
Right.
Like, if you're an asshole, I could see you trying to do that. Like, even if you're just doing it like, hey, I wasn't, like, actually trying to, like, be inappropriate. But not clearing it with the actress would be, like, the super uncool. Like,
you can't. Yeah.
But I did like the idea of him just being like, just going for it. That shit was funny, man. That shit was fucking hilarious. She was like, no, I do not think so. Jerry and George go backstage at the Flying Santos again, and they see that same Santos brother in the jacket, and they're like, hey, that's our jacket. And they basically rip it off of him. And then you come to
Strong Home.
Yeah. And you like it was a marble rye. And you come to find out Susan's friend actually had the jacket because the Flying Santos wanted to have it dry cleaned. And so, like, she's like, yeah, here it is. And then George is like, oh, it's great. Hey, why don't we go to dinner tonight? And she's like, I don't think so. And she clearly had soured on Jerry because of his behavior. Meanwhile, during the kerfuffle with during Elaine and
sexual
Mark,
assault.
Like I said, kerfluffle. With Rob Schneider, he dropped his earpiece, and Elaine picks it up, and she's in the balcony alone, and she's like, ooh, I wonder if it works. And so she cleans it off, and she puts it in. She's like, oh, I can hear everything. It's great. And meanwhile, as George and Jerry are leaving, the Flying Santos brothers come out and try to attack them for, you know, stealing their brother's jacket, and they bust out of the emergency exit door, setting off the alarm and thus deafening Elaine as she's wearing the earpiece. She's got some pretty good physical comedy. Like, oh, my ears!
Oh shit! It's so funny, man. Like you have to see it. You have to see Elaine just in complete and utter agonizing pain.
Yeah, it's just funny.
And then the post credit sequence is Kramer going back to that girl's house with the cops. He's like, oh, you tried to kill me. And the woman's like, can I call my lawyer? And her lawyer is Jackie Childs. And she's like, he's like, who'd you try to kill? And he was like, this guy named Kramer. He's like, calm down, Kramer. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Which is a perfect ending, considering Jackie Childs has gotten burned by him twice at this point in the series. All right, that is it for the Friars Club episode. I hope you enjoyed it, including the personal stories, which I'm sure my story will get thrown back in my face.
Yeah, buddy. Can't sure. wait. It's your rich ass.
I'm not rich, guys. I'm not rich.
Okay.
All right, that's it for us. I've got to go up to my support yacht for my other yacht. I hope we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bow, 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 bow.
Really?